stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anoint, or at once, with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You think about the parable of the sower. The sower, of course, is the Son of Man. We know that. The seed is the word that we have in our hands, God's precious word. The soil is the human heart. And, you know, this is, you think about the sower, that's a good name to call a preacher, isn't it? The sower goes out and puts the seed on the ground, or in the ground. He's not called somebody like, a critic, somebody that just goes out and always trying to tell you where you're wrong and all. He's just telling you what God has said. And you're the one that makes up your decision about how you'll receive this seed. The sower is just one that brings it to you. And so I'm glad to be a sower. All of those that go out with a burdened heart are carrying this precious seed, and they long to scatter it. We know the Old Testament, the prophets, they took the message, and the Bible says some of them even went forth weeping, bearing this precious seed. There's a promise attached to that. If you do that, he says, he'll doubtless come again and bring in his sheaves with him. It's like the rain that comes down. We had a little shower the other day. Getting awful dusty, wasn't it? You know, when the rain came, it made a difference in the ground. Every time the word of God's taken out, something will happen, and God's promised that it'll not return void. I'm glad for that. It's not your opinion that counts. What God said counts every time. And so they took the word out. Now notice there's four different kinds of soil represented. And there's four distinct ways in which the word or the seed is treated by those that hear it. Notice, first of all, the wayside. This one that's in verse number 4, some seed were sown by the wayside and the fowls devoured it up. This represents an indifferent hearer, one that really has no interest in what you're telling. And you'll run into those probably more so than the other kind, because they just will listen maybe, but they have no interest in it. It's a hard place. An indifferent hearer may be even a regular hearer, but his heart's like this heavily traveled path. You know, we walk around the rows of corn or the beans or whatever you have planted, and that's the place where you step all the time, and it becomes compacted, and that's not where you sow the seed normally. But there were some, the Bible said, fell by the wayside. It's been likened to a leaky seed basket. He was going to plant the seed in the good ground, but there's some seed fell before he got to the good ground. And I think maybe a lot of times, you know, we are trying to win people to the Lord, but we don't know what effect we're really having. But we're trying anyhow. I saw a bumper sticker on the car the other day, and I don't remember what it was. Some kind of religious slogan on it. And I told Linda, I said, I wonder if anybody ever gets saved by reading that. That really makes any difference. It seems like it would be a rare thing just to ride down the road and pull up like a red light there. Prepare to meet God, or prepare for eternity. And you know what Linda said? She said, well, somebody might get saved. You never know. You never know. God might use that for that person. He may be going through a trying time or whatever, but when God gets you where the Holy Spirit can work on your heart, it don't take much to show you what you need. And so this man maybe had a leaky seed basket, whether he's going to sow at the good ground or what have you. But anyhow, this isn't not just a compacted wayside area, but it's a dangerous place. You notice he talks about the fowls of the air that came by, and they quickly picked up this seed. Not just the feet of everybody that passed by could stamp on this seed, but the fowls were waiting to carry the seed. So it's a place where people have a hard heart, and they're used to traveling in sin. And they're out there doing what they want to do with no concern for the Lord. Their heart is hard towards the Lord, and the fowls of the air came by. Notice it didn't say that the seed fell into the ground, but some seed fell by the wayside. They just fell on the ground, and it didn't go into the soil, and so there it was exposed. Seldom does this kind of seed really find a place to grow. But the seed is always in danger of being lost until it's hid in our heart. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. And so I'm glad we're not like this kind of soil where it's a hard place and it's exposed to all of this. And it's also hopeless. The living seed will find no shelter, no interest in life. And these indifferent hearers simply don't profit from this kind of, condition. They're not ready to receive the word of God. Then you see the stony ground in verse number 5. Or someone's likened this to an emotional hearer. Some fell upon stony places. They had not much earth, and they sprang up. Because they had no depthness of earth, the sun was up, they were scorched, had no root, and they withered away. Well, this stony ground represented this here. It's joyfully received. You see what he said over in verse 20? He that receiveth the seed in the stony place is saying that heareth the word, and anoint, or quickly at once. With joy he received that. And so, joyfully received, but there's no depthness of earth. It's easily removed. And their shallow heart, it's very often very emotional. I've saw people come in, and you have revivals a lot of times a year, every year. And you know, they'll come in and they'll come to the altar. And, oh, I tell you, I'm sorry, I've sinned. I'm going to, what do you old lazy people do? Why don't we get out here and just comb this country? Let's get those people saved. Let's grow this church, you dead people. Let's get it going. You know, they have that attitude. But in about 2 weeks, they're gone. They're not doing anything anymore. But that's the way it is. They're among the stony ground. They're very emotional. They have tears, and they mean something at the time, but their tears quickly dry up, and then there's nothing going on. It's quickly starved. You see why it is? They have no root. And that's why we emphasize Sunday school and Bible study and everything we can, private devotions. You have to be grounded in this book to really get anywhere with the Lord. They have no root. They spring up, but it's all on the outside. There's no downward growth. And beneath this thin covering of feelings still lies that stubborn will. It's not been removed. I'll just be honest with you. You can't get saved until you come to the Lord and run up the white flag and say, Lord, here I am. No price I bring, I'm just coming to you. And Lord, if you don't save me, I'm going to hell. Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do. Father, here I am. Use me, send me, help me, forgive me, Lord. You have to surrender to the Lord. You come to the Lord and say, well, now listen, Lord, I'd like to, Lord, I'd like to change some things, but now I can't do this, or I'm not going to do that and all this. I've had some people come to church and they come for a few Sundays and you say, well, where do you live? Or what, you know, and they say, well, you know, we're just staying together. We're not really married. And they say, well, you know what? The Bible teaches that that's no way to live. You tell people how to get right with God and all this and get married and live right and clean and holy and pure. And you know what they do a lot of times? Well, I don't think that's the church I want to go to. They're getting a little bit too personal with me and all that. They got a lot of things in their life that's not right with God, and these stones in their heart are keeping them from ever doing anything, and they'll not give it up a lot of times. Too stubborn. Well, I don't believe a little of this, a little of that's going to hurt me. And it robs you of everything that God can do. You have to surrender to the Lord's will. And when you read a verse in this book, if it condemns you, it's like they talk about rubbing the cat the wrong way, you know. Turn the cat around. Get in the right line with the Word of God. It'll not work any other way. God's not going to bargain with us and let you hold on to something that suits you or what. But this is the stony ground, the emotional ear. They grab hold of it, but they won't turn over to the Lord. And in verse number 6, you see, and the sun was up, and they had scorched because of this. They had no depthness of earth. Soon overcome by outward circumstances. The heart must be full of love for God to grow, and persecution causes these people to just wither away. They don't really have what it takes. Well, notice the third one here. In verse number 7, he talks about the thorny ground, or a person that is double-minded. There's soil that's abundant because the thorns are growing there, but the plow of the Holy Spirit has not come in and convicted as it should. There's a readiness to receive the Word, but only to give it a place among those thorns and those worldly things that God's not pleased with. You know, when we come to Him, we're supposed to come out from the world and be separate.
Amen.
I mean, there's no way God's going to pour out His blessings on you and all the thorns of the world are still in the way. And so he received the seed, but it's only to be given the place among the other things. The soil is preoccupied. See, that which is first in the heart, that which is natural, and the thorns usually have the first place, or they do have the first place. They have to be taken away. And then that which is spiritual has to come in. Who would go out and plant a garden in a briar patch? You'd say, well, that's not going to do any good. All this will crowd it out, absorb the nutrients and the moisture and shade the little tender plant. Pull up that briar patch. You get rid of the thorns and let the plow of the Holy Spirit come in and break it up. That fallow ground, pull it apart and remove. You know, when I was growing up, we'd have what we call sometimes new ground. No garden had ever been planted there. We'd maybe want to just take a place. First thing you had to do was remove all the stones. And that's why you go in some of these older mountainous areas where they had gardens. There's walls, rock walls, leading around a lot of places. Well, it took years, but when they'd find a stone that was not needed to be there, they moved it and piled it up with the rest so the garden would have good soil to grow in. And so we don't need to be preoccupied with these things. Matter of fact, Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve God and mammon, of those evil things that people say, I'll get rich or I'll die trying. Well, they're always going to die trying, because that's not where true riches come from. The things of this world crowding out the good things of God. Well, I'm glad when we come down to these verses, you know, sin has covered up all of this, no excuses and stuff for these others. You can debate, I guess, from now on about these types of soil. The only one that I think, other than the good ground, that could possibly be saved are those that are in the thorn patch, and they're saved, but they just haven't really sold out to the Lord. I don't know. God's going to take care of it. And it doesn't really do any good to try to look at somebody and analyze them and say, now, you're this way, you're this way. I've even heard people say, well, I can read some verses or ask certain questions to a person. I can tell you whether or not they're saved or whether they're lost and all that stuff. Well, don't God's the one that knows the heart.
Amen.
They may give you the answers you'd like to hear, but do they really mean it, you see? God knows. But I know one thing. This last group that he's talking about, the seed that fell on the good ground, not just on the good ground, but into the good ground, they're right with God because they're bearing some fruit. Now this is, notice in verse 8, this is one who has a prepared heart. Other fell into, not on, but into good ground and brought forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He mentions that one in verse 23. He that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth this forth different degrees of fruit. And so the prepared ground, that heart, is the good ground. It's the object of special care. A heart that's been plowed and torn by the Holy Spirit. The weeds are cut up and the roots are thrown out. And all the stones have been removed. And it's there ready. The heart that's hungry for these spiritual things, it has no room for the cares and riches that hinder that one needful thing that needs to be planted there. God knows what we ought to be. God prepares, helps us to understand this. And that's why we were talking in our Sunday school, you know. If you have a legitimate question, if you're wondering about something, God can give you the answer.
Amen.
And until you really overcome some of these mental blocks and these questions and problems that the devil might have put in your path or somebody else may have been telling you this or that, until you know what God's saying about it, then it can be a hindrance. And so we need to understand the thing that God would have for us to know. If the seed is to be fruitful, it must have full liberty in the soil of the heart. The understanding of the word is the growth of the seed. It'll give you confidence, too, to live for the Lord. You know, we're told to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks the hope, the reason that we have this hope that lies within us. We're not to be puzzled when somebody says, well, what do you think you are? What are you doing? And all this, you just tell them simply you believe what God has said and you're living upon the earth that God created and we're no accident. We're not some evolved thing that just by chance took place. You know, it always bothers me to spend all these billions of dollars and to send out these things into space and say, we're going to try to find out how the universe began. And save a lot of money if you just get a good Bible and start reading. It's right here for us. And it's clear when you look around and see, man could not have made everything that we have. Linda's been taking some pictures of flowers this spring. And little old beady flowers, wildflowers, that get down real close. And when you get it on the screen, it's just a big picture. Beautiful. But it's so intricate, so delicate. It's so beautiful to look at. Only God could make these things that we look at and see that's all around us. And so we understand what God's doing. We have an understanding heart. And I think, you know, it's not just something that's an educational process. It's not just something that you went through all these levels and finally you're up here. Now you can see it because you've done it. No, it's something God shows you. God speaks to the heart of those people that he lives in. When God shows you something, you know it. You don't worry about it. You can, it's like, you know, you go to bed and you reach over there and maybe read a little what. Turn the lamp off, snuggle down, you know, just turn over and take a deep breath. And you go. You know, daylight comes. Or you have to get up and go to the bathroom or do something. You know, but you fall asleep. And you know, that's the way it is with God. He just comforts our hearts. He gives us the assurance. Well, with your soul. I said, die before awake. I know I'll be in a better world. I'm glad that we have this understanding God can give us. Nobody has to tell you. He just knows right. He speaks through your spirit. And this kind of person, this good soil, is not only prepared and he has an understanding heart, but he is a fruitful person. Notice there's 3 degrees of fruitfulness that's mentioned. 100, 60, and 30. Even in the good ground, there's a measure of understanding that has much to do with the measure of our fruitfulness. You know why some people work harder than others? Like the pastor was talking about it, somebody wanted to learn to play the piano. And I said, do you really want to? Are you really willing to spend all those hours practicing day after day to get to that point where you know what you're doing? If you really want to do something, it's worth the effort. It's worth turning away from something that would be a little bit more fun at the time to go here or go there and do this or do that. But when you really understand what's important in life, it's like, you know, Mary and Martha with the feet of Jesus, and she was criticizing Mary for being there and not helping her. Lord, why don't you bid her to come and help me? And he says, you know, you're troubled about many things. But he said, Mary had chosen that good part that can't be taken away from. I wonder how many times we're choosing these little trivialest things over those good things. When God puts something on your heart to do according to His will, it's amazing how many times when we just obey the Lord and go and make that visit or make that phone call or do what we need to do, that God's already working on the other end. I'm glad that God helps us to have these kind of degrees of fruit bearing. But the fruitfulness, even in this good ground, is a measurement of how much we do understand and want to do the will of God in our lives. The character of the fruit tells much about the nature of the soil. You know, down in Georgia, they have some sandy soil. And they raise these Valdea onions. There's even a town down there called Valdea. And they're so sweet. You know what? You can take those little onion sets that they plant down there in the spring of the year and bring them up here and put them in some of this alkaline type soil and acid soil and all this. It's not sandy, it's not soft. You know what it'll be? It'll be so hot you can't hardly eat them. I mean, they're not anything like the ones that grow there. It's not the seed that's the difference, it's the soil that's making the difference. There's something in that soil that produces that sweetness that you can enjoy. And so God helps us. He realizes what we are. And the character of the fruit tells much about that nature of the soil we're planted in. Now, the great object of the sower is the fruit. He'd be wasting the seed if it never multiplied, wouldn't he? But he goes out and puts the seed in the soil. And a lot of it brings forth fruit. And much fruit. And so it tells us the great object of it is that it'll produce fruit. All would be lost and it'd be a failure if there was no fruitfulness about it. And so Jesus said, John 15:7, verse 8, He said, let us abide in Him. And our lives, of course, will not be barren if we are following the Lord. He said, abide in Me, and you shall need to be unfruitful or barren. Well, how many of us tonight really can, you know, are really in that good soil? How many of us tonight are producing the fruit God intends for us to have? Are we this maybe like this that's on the pathway that's hard ground? Are we on a place where it's stony and no seed's going to do any good? Or where there's a lot of thorns? What's the good seed of God doing in our life? Are we that good ground that we've come to say, Lord, mold me and make me what You'd have me to be? Lord, I want to be Your obedient child. I want to serve You. He'll produce something in our lives that'll reflect that kind of soil. I'm glad to have Him tonight as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm glad to have Him tonight that producing something in my life. You know, people don't just walk up to you and say, I appreciate what you're doing. I'm glad you're here. I told Shirley and Jean back there a while ago, so I'm glad you're here with us now. We need some good people to work with in this church. There's some great work to carry. I mean, how many of you tonight get up here and sing? a beautiful song to bless the people's heart. We need people to be able to do what God's gifted them to do. I want to be faithful to serve.